Caution, the Mark Unger Show contains adult content intended for an adult audience. And besides that, he's really weird. Welcome to the Mark Unger Show with national marriage speaker and author of Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage, Mark Unger. This is your source for practical, down-to-earth marriage advice without all the over-spiritualization or romantic nonsense. And now the host of the Mark Unger Show, Mark Unger.
And the crowd goes wild with delirium at the very mention of my name.
This is the show that discusses all things concerning
marriage.
I am, of course, the one, the only, the incomparable Mark Unger.
It's like living with a six-year-old.
Also joining us is the ever-charming and consistently brilliant Diane Brierley.
What kind of responsible behavior is that?
And, of course, the amazing Ross Alan Skorzewski.
Nobody really cares.
Engineering, as always, in the background, Timothy Ray pushing knobs, twisting buttons, and desperately trying to stay awake during this program makes it all possible. It is, of course, Valentine's Day. You are listening to the proper show for Valentine's Day, the Mark Unger Show, where we answer your email questions dealing with your marital challenges, your relating conundrums, your dating dilemmas. You can email them to us at someplace. I don't know. Radio at
markunger.com.
I knew we had an address somewhere there. Radio at markunger.com.
I'm sorry. I have really bad news to bring here this morning for our first news story for Valentine's Day.
Well, good. It's nothing like depressing everyone at the beginning of the show. We appreciate all the effort you put into that.
And this little article says that divorce filings rise 40% around Valentine's Day in the United States.
40%.
Wow. 40%.
That's huge.
A new study has revealed that Valentine's Day, which is an occasion for sweethearts to exchange gifts, has increasingly become a time for divorce in the United States. Data compiled found that divorce filings skyrocket about 40% this time of year. Over the past 2 years, we've seen an average increase of 40% in the number of divorce requests for lawyers around Valentine's Day compared to the previous 6 months. Furthermore, the number of questions about divorce has soared 36% during the same time. Indeed, there's definitely a major Valentine's spike when it comes to divorce. A New Jersey lawyer agreed with the findings. He said, "We see a definite spike in divorce cases around Valentine's Day. I see it as a combination of cabin fever, people waiting until after the holidays, and most importantly, people waiting until they know what their spouse's bonus and income situation will be in the new year."
Oh, that's low.
Isn't that bad? Happy Valentine's Day to all of you.
Wow.
Not very good news.
Well, what do you think about these, their thoughts of why this happens?
Why?
First of all, what's the first one?
Cabin fever.
How many of you think it has anything to do with cabin fever?
I don't know. I get cabin fever at this time of the year, but I don't think it would lead to a divorce.
Yeah. Cabin fever is a bad thing.
Waiting till the holidays. I have heard that because there's also an increase after Christmas. Like when you hit the New Year's, sometimes they say after the holidays are over and you've made it through with the kids and all of that. And once you get into the New Year, I have heard that. You get past Thanksgiving, Christmas.
Yeah, but I think the holidays exasperates the frustration in the relationship.
I'm sure it does.
You know, well, you've come through the holidays and you think this person is a moron.
Mm-hmm.
And
you've had so much wonderful family time
they don't
together.
Get it, and it's been awful, and I can't take this anymore. Mm-hmm. Sure. So I can see them bailing. I don't think it has anything with cabin fever.
No, I don't think cabin fever.
It could if you live in Wisconsin with the weather that we have.
Actually, doesn't cabin fever lead to more pregnancies?
Does it? Does it? I've never heard that.
Particularly, you know, it's real funny whenever they have like a major blizzard.
Blizzards or blackouts or things like that.
Yeah,
I've heard that.
They have blizzard babies,
mm-hmm.
blackout. Now stop and think how insane this is. We, as Americans, we are so consumed by our daily distractions. You know, heaven forbid we actually spend any time paying attention to each other because we have TVs and computers and everything. All it takes is a blizzard or a blackout
Or people, well, what you gonna do? I don't know. What you gonna do? Well, I don't know. Maybe we'll have sex.
They actually bother.
They actually bother to pay attention to you because there's no other. And you have this big spike in pregnancies.
Isn't that funny?
Oh, no, it's bizarre.
It is very bizarre.
Very, very strange. It wouldn't surprise me.
Some kind of freak
I was just
event.
In Oklahoma this weekend. I took off from Green Bay, and of course, snow as far as you can see. Mm-hmm. Get above the clouds. And then we come back down through the clouds, coming to land, and there's snow as far as it's like, were we flying in circles? Nothing's changed.
Oh, yeah, because they got a big
storm. All the way from Tulsa all the way to Green Bay, complete snow cover.
Wow.
We're used to it. They're not.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
So it wouldn't surprise me if in Oklahoma
mm-hmm.
we don't see a spike in birth rates just because they were locked in.
That's funny.
Isn't that bizarre?
Anyway, because they don't have anything else to do.
People waiting to after the holidays. I don't know if they're. Yeah, I guess that's possible.
I mean, I haven't heard of
that. More importantly, waiting for what their spouse's bonus and income situation. I don't think that's likely true.
Let's get the income tax refund in the
mail.
Well,
that might be true for some really strange people, but most people, I mean, if they were really thinking financially at all, they'd never get the divorce in the
mm-hmm.
first place.
Mm-hmm.
So people divorce despite the huge hint they'll take financially in their lives.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's that. You know what I think it is? I think Valentine's Day comes, the idea of romance and idealism and
mm-hmm.
Soulmates and all this other nonsense is amplified, it spikes. They look around and say, oh, I made a mistake. I married the wrong idiot.
Mm-hmm.
I should have married the other idiot. And sure. Hence the spike.
And they feel very discontented in their
situation.
Be my guess
anyway, yeah.
Plus a lot of the over-romanticized messages they're mm-hmm. getting on this day.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. It's big. I heard a number when I was driving over here this morning. $16 billion is spent on Valentine's Day in the United States
wow.
on this one day alone. $16 billion. And they said that men outspend women, that men spend more on buying gifts for women.
Mm-hmm. Guilt.
$16 billion
is a high motivator.
In a day.
Yes, it is.
Do you do a big, I asked you this last week, do you do a big deal for Valentine's Day? You
guys? I only spend $1 billion, so I don't know.
Yeah,
it's not a big deal. I mean, we went out Friday because I was going to be here today, but we went out to eat, and it's never
did.
That big of a deal for us.
We have a really special evening plan.
Mm-hmm.
Just me and Deb and Diane and my sister. So it's very, very romantic.
Your sister.
Yes. Lisa's coming in.
Oh, wonderful.
So you have a house full of people.
So you know, it'll be great. You know.
I'm sure well,
that's
it will
a great
be.
That's a great environment for intimacy.
Yeah. Buzzing. We start streaking through the halls naked. Diane will be screaming, ah!
Yeah. Put it away!
Oh, sorry about that. Sorry. Forgot you were here.
Streaking the quad.
Oh, there are people that get very depressed around Valentine's Day, though. There are people who don't have somebody. Even if you have someone and it's not going well and you're really lonely, it's a hard day for a lot of people.
It doesn't help coming out of, you know, Christmas and New Year's and all, you know, Thanksgiving, Christmas. There's
yes.
a heightened sense of, you
let's
know,
get it on.
Loneliness
yeah.
if you don't have anything.
Well, and you've just gotten over spending New Year's Eve by yourself,
right.
And then wham, here comes Valentine's Day. It is hard for people. It's not, I mean, it's not that hard for me, but I know people that it is very hard for. It's very difficult.
Huh.
What?
Huh.
What are you looking for something there?
Leave me alone. You know, I sit here, I mind my own business.
You're not minding your own business.
I'm minding my own
business.
You're
minding the business of the buttons.
You bug me.
Who bugs who?
You bug me. I'm bugged here.
I think we have that the wrong way around. Okay. Somebody who is a faithful listener wrote in after he heard us talking about, it was a few weeks ago, the sex in the baby years. Remember that article, how you keep sex going when you have little kids in the house and all of that? Do you remember that when we talked
no.
about? Okay, anyway.
I don't remember what we talked about. Friday, so.
Yeah, I know. I'm sure that you didn't. So, anyway, the whole article was about trying to have sex on purpose.
Sex on purpose.
When
I like
it. You have little kids in the house. So, he got thinking more and more about this, and he came up with a solution called the Sex Quota Plus. And it was rather entertaining and interesting, so I thought I would share it with you.
Hey, Debbie, we haven't met a sex quota yet.
I think that you'll like this. He says, it has been suggested by Mark and others that sex 3 times per week is a good goal to set as a standard in marriage. A suggested tool to use to achieve this goal is
now
to schedule your
sex. Now, it varies in people's
sex.
Lives with your age.
Right.
Obviously, you know, at 21 is probably a little bit more frequent than at
right.
71.
Yeah, you're probably
by
not
the
at
way,
3 times
you can
a
still
week.
Have great sex at 71.
Remember that article we did on geezer sex?
Geezer sex?
Yes. You can have great sex at 7. You just won't be able to remember why.
What's your name?
Why did we do this?
Oh.
I don't know. I don't know. We can do it. I just don't remember why.
Anyhow, 2 to 3 times a week. Let's go with that. In that you can schedule it. Schedule your sex for 2 or 3 times a week.
All right.
Feedback in various disgruntled push back saying that schedule.
Disgruntled.
People are disgruntled.
It's the opposite of gruntled.
Mm-hmm. They're gotta unhappy.
Gruntled. Gruntled.
Because they say that scheduling sex.
That was a big discovery for us last year. We discovered gruntled.
Yes.
There is a word called gruntled.
Yes.
Gruntled means to make one happy. Mm-hmm. Disgruntled means to make one unhappy. So it is our goal to gruntle America and the world.
People get disgruntled at the thought of having to schedule
sex. People get gruntled at the show.
Right.
Until I say what I think. Then they become disgruntled.
Disgruntled.
I wonder how they felt last week when we accidentally had that, you know, slip of the tongue where you offended Austria. And
oh, come
we
on.
Had this, like,
still reliving it.
20
move
minute.
On! Move on!
Stop! Stop! All anyway, right. People don't like scheduling because they say that it's not romantic, spontaneous, or mm-hmm. emotional enough for them.
Mm-hmm.
It also appears to be heard from multiple sources that they don't like the idea that sex is just sex.
Mm-hmm.
When you say that, they get disgruntled with you.
Yeah.
So his suggestion is to have a sex quota plus. And he said that he must give credit for this idea to his beautiful wife.
All right.
So here's how it goes. As of just recently, this is the agreement that my wife and I currently have. She promises to commit to having sex at least twice a week.
Right.
No questions asked, no matter what. Granted, usually she initiates She initiates it because
like,
it's easier for her to...
Do you think this is the appropriate time? We're in the middle of the...
No. Okay. So she gets to initiate it because it's easier for her to plan that way, okay? And he's usually always a go regardless.
Mm-hmm.
So she says that twice a week is all she can guarantee to give right now because their schedules are really busy. They have 4 children under the age of 5.
Oh, wow. Dude, 4 children under 5, you're getting it twice a week? Shut up, you're a happy man.
Yes, and none of them are twins.
Good.
Okay, so he says, I understand her situation and agree to those terms, even though almost all men would love more. After several weeks,
I have no idea what he's talking about.
Yes, right. After several weeks of this agreement, it has become apparent, despite her very generous and even valiant efforts to the cause, that this arrangement isn't the most romantically fulfilling to her and only about half as frequent as desired for me. While listening to your show, I had an epiphany, or at least it was to me. In order to help satisfy both sides, I've thought of something to add to our arrangement. We will keep the twice-a-week agreement that she has graciously committed to, but in addition to that, if I am wanting anything more than the agreed-upon terms, I will have to romance her into it through romantic tactics and passionate schemes in order to sweep her off her feet and hopefully into bed. To the point that I am absolutely irresistible. Now, these romantic soirees are not to be counted as part of her sex quota for the week. That's guaranteed. These will simply be bonuses or the plus part. She will have the right to allow...
Okay, wait a minute. I get where he's going with this. But he's erring here.
Okay.
You, even with the 2 that she says guaranteed, they should still be as much effort... from your end, as in anything beyond that.
Yeah, that's right.
Just because we've agreed it, what do you do, Shay? All
right, 8 o'clock, get your clothes off. Come on, let's go. We agreed on this.
All right. So but she said she will initiate for those 2.
So, yeah, so you're saying he can't be lazy for those 2. He's got to...
No, it should be the same. It should be as romantic as what you know is at least you know you have a green light.
Yes.
Right.
And still be as romantic as you can. Try and be nice. And, you know, it doesn't mean... You know, your idea of foreplay on those nights is, brace yourself, Barry, here, come on, hang on to something, it's time. You know, I mean, come on. You should be as romantic and as concerned and connecting and take time, touching, and all the other kind of stuff on the guaranteed nights, just like on anything beyond that.
Talk about an opportunity for her to resent.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, so what you're saying is, so on the freebies,
he doesn't have to work at it.
You wait, hey, brace yourself, Margaret, come on.
It's all about me.
Hang on, Margaret, here we go. You know, this is not exactly what I'm talking about,
all right? It's just that you know that you know, okay, and this night, green light, then if anything, you should be able to be a better lover because you don't have to be concerned at all about rejection. And just be as romantic and nice and touchy and concerned and as focused on her as you can possibly be. In fact, you want to make her guaranteed nights even better. Help her out even more on those days.
Yeah.
In other words, you
especially if he knows what days they are.
Gotta say it's Tuesday night, mm-hmm. you get to do the Hoochie Mama, okay? Then on Tuesday, you're going to help her more. You're going to vacuum. You're going to clean. Baby, let me put the kids to bed. You know, I mean, you go out of your way to reward the fact that she has given you a green light on these days, which might make her want to give you an extra green light.
On an extra day.
On an extra day. So I think you're going about this wrong based on the way he's talking. I know what he's trying to say.
Okay.
You know, oh, yeah, on those, you know, I get those automatic, but the other ones have to really be nice for me. No, you need to be nice.
all the time.
And on those days, you should treat her like gold. And that should cause her to want to give you extra days.
But he did go on to say that on the days that he is trying for the quota plus, that no matter how nice he is, if she says no, he just has to suck it up and deal with it, knowing that no matter how nice he is, he might still not score. And he
crash
has to be okay with that.
Yeah. Yeah, I just think. You know, I don't know.
Just be nice all the time.
Work out your own life. But I think he's going about this wrong.
Okay. Well, this was a couple weeks ago, so maybe he'll write in and let us know how this has been working for them. And it might work for them, but it might not work for somebody else. It might totally work for them.
But still with four children under five?
That's pretty good.
But it just sounds to me like these are gimmies.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then for the extras, I got to you got to be nice all the time.
Right.
Yeah.
Make it special for her all the time. Anyway, having said that brilliant thought, we'll take a break and be back with more right here on the Valentine's Day edition of The Mark Gunger Show.
Find yourself missing episodes of The Mark Gunger Show? No need to worry. Go to iTunes.com and download all of our podcasts, which are made available free to you, our loyal listener. Join Mark and co-hosts as they continue to discuss any and all issues concerning life, love, and marriage. Lap Your Way presents Mark Gunger's Butt-Kicking Woman Conference. Find out what it takes to be a strong, confident, and respectful woman at the second Butt-Kicking Woman's Conference, May 20th and 21st at Celebration Church in Green Bay, Wisconsin. This is not your typical woman's conference and will be unlike anything you've ever attended before. This life-changing weekend will feature nationally renowned speakers Mark Gunger, Lakita Garth, and Carrie Pomeroy. Join us and learn how to be the kind of woman that knows who she is, what she believes, and won't let the devil or anyone else kick her around. For more information, log on to www.buttkickingwoman.com.
Are you tired of wasting your time and money on marriage counseling that works temporarily but leaves you worse off than before? My name is Larry Bellotta, and I know what it's like to endure a miserable marriage because I've been there. I lived 27 years in a marriage made in hell, but in the 28th year, I fell in love with my wife. And today, we're continuously married, 34 years happier than ever. Over the years of working with couples, I found that one thing holds them back from the marriage they really want, resentment. It's true. If you don't feel good, you won't do good. How many people in miserable marriages can do something positive when they feel angry inside? And it's in struggling marriages that you miss that intimacy, that closeness and connection that you used to have. It's time you tried something that really works when counseling won't. And that something is called the Fulfilled Couple Program. You're going to learn how to eliminate your negative feelings in 60 seconds so you no longer have to get angry, no longer have to get critical of one another. And that's why this program has an 88% success rate. Go to fulfilledcouple.com/Mark to learn more. That's fulfilledcouple.com/Mark. And get ready to fall in love again.
You'd think that people would have had enough of silly love songs. But I look around me and I see it isn't so.
Oh, no.
Some people.
Here we go again.
Any ideas?
The Mark Gunger Show. What?
Who is the? You any idea who did this?
It's your little a cappella group.
No, it's Glee.
Oh, it's from Glee.
Yes.
Originally, it was Paul McCartney.
Yes.
But this is all a vocal little rendition.
I like that song. Ready for a dating question? You don't. Obviously, the look on your face.
That's all right.
Okay. Dating question ready?
I like this version better than McCartney's.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
I'm a young bachelor, age 19, and I have been praying for someone compatible with me for some time. I recently met a young woman in college who is everything that I've prayed for. We both love the Lord. And
everything
have...
you prayed for.
Mm-hmm, apparently.
Be interesting what he prayed for.
Yep. It would be. Wonder what that list yes. is. We both love the Lord.
People would be mortified. See, I always say, just simplify. I think people overcomplicate stuff. My son, he says, Dad, how do you know it's the right one? So, Phil, two main things. Does she have a nice smile and boobs? That's all you got to know. Boobs and a nice smile. That's all. If there's no boobs, you're the wrong gender.
I'm sorry. Nice smiles and good boobs. There can be a lot of other things wrong in that picture.
But, of course, he started laughing, and he got my thing. He says, look, it's not about... You know, especially women, they're really bad at this. They make lists of what they want from men. And they will have pages of the most detailed requirements. It's no wonder you guys, girls are 49 and still unmarried.
Right.
You know, I think the longer you make this, you know, just a nice girl who believes in God and, you know, he knew all the stuff.
You don't have to have way too many things.
You know, is it a girl? That's number one. That's all,
you know. But sometimes
is she a nice girl?
And that matters today.
And then, you know, she really loved God, and then you're pretty much done. So
sometimes do you think that people put unimportant things on that list and leave off the things that really matter? You know, things that really they should be looking at that they don't have as a requirement?
Maybe, I don't. Did you have a list?
No.
I was like, who does? I mean, I know everybody does it. I go to Bible college. I speak at Bible college. All the girls, all they're making these gigantic lists. I think, stop. What are you doing?
Setting themselves up for failure. That's what they're doing.
Pages.
And I wonder, that's what
my
I'm saying.
My list was not on pages. My list you could put on a 3x5 card.
Do the pages
actually,
include
you could write my
the
list on
things?
A chewing gum wrapper.
Boobs and smile. Yeah, they fit.
The two things that go south in time.
Yeah. that's true.
Everybody relax out there freaking. I can't believe you're saying just a little bit of an exaggeration. It's what I do, but I'm making the point.
Mm-hmm.
Simplify.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
All you really need to know is do you like this person and do they love God passionately and look at their character? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's really what it's about. But that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about he needs to be 6'2", and he needs to be a Republican.
That's what I mean.
And he needs to drive a Volvo, and they even have the model number, and the kind of shoes that they wear. Mm-hmm.
And how he dresses, and how he combs his hair.
It's $150,000 a year.
And X amount of money, and this is, I mean, it's insane.
Right.
But so who can fill that?
That's what I'm saying. They have those kinds of requirements, but they don't worry about whether
character.
Or not he has good character or has been mixed up in porn or whatever. They don't ask the right questions. They don't have the right requirements.
All right, so anyway, he has a girl who met his requirements. What they might be, I have no
apparently. Idea. He said that they both love the Lord and have similar traits and attributes. On our first date...
Someone on the chat room. Boobs are not joke material.
I'm sorry. Are not joke material.
Single happy, line up a bit.
There's
good,
a
great.
Lot of
right,
jokes about boobs, let me tell you. Yeah. On the first date, they went to an event at church, and it went phenomenally well. The more we talked, the more I realized how similar we are. Toward the end of the date, she informed me that she was recently engaged, but that the Lord showed her that her fiancé wasn't who she thought he was. Huh. She also said that because of that, she didn't want to go into a relationship right now. We agreed that serving the Lord mattered most at the time. A couple of weeks later, we were talking in class, and I noticed that without my trying, our stories on the topics they were talking about began to match up. You know how like, oh, I like this, and you know what I'm talking about? Everything was all flowing together.
I have two eyes. Oh, I do too.
Yeah.
Wow. And I have hair on my head. Really, I do too. That's amazing. Okay.
Okay. I think this is where he's starting to really overthink this. He says, I began to worry that she thought I might be copying her to get closer to her. But when I told her...
Stop copying me.
What I thought...
Mom! Mom, she's copying me! Okay.
So he asked her about this, and he told her what I thought she was thinking, and she shook her head and told me no, she didn't think that, and reminded me what we had said about serving the Lord being the most important thing, that she didn't want a relationship.
Uh-huh.
In early email conversations, it's apparent that she was interested in me, but now it just feels really weird. I try to focus on serving the Lord, but
is there a question in all this?
Yes. Trip all over whatever whenever she's around. He's all tangled up about her.
All right.
But he wants to have some advice. Is he overthinking it? Should he? Is he just trying to make himself look good to her? If she's not interested,
just be yourself. What do you care?
That's what I say. He's overthinking.
Just be yourself.
If she goes, "Mom, he's copying me,"
then just get away from her. You know, good grief. Who
well,
cares?
And if she says she's not interested in a relationship right now, and he is, maybe should he move on at this point? Or
no. I think
I wouldn't say that either.
No, I wouldn't say that either because many of us. Our initial encounters with our wives were, get away from me.
Yeah. Mine was with my
Coffee?
Husband.
No.
I would dare say that's the vast majority of people. And it causes a man to reevaluate, okay, she told me to bug off. How badly do I want this girl? And then begin to pursue the girl. Yeah. So I think it's fine. If she tells him to bug off, who cares?
If she persistently says bug off.
Or if she calls the cops, yeah.
See, that's how I got the girl, though. She kept on saying, no, and I pursued.
Oh,
if you get a restraining order, yeah. Then that's a bad sign.
I was the big no girl. It was like the very first phone conversation. It's like, I just need to tell you right up front, I am not interested in dating anybody. And for a whole year, it's like, nope, I don't think so. And we were friends. And even a year later, if you're interested in taking this to another, nope, I'm not interested at all. Sorry. I mean, just shot down in flames for a whole year.
Your husband?
Yes.
See?
But I'm,
so what should he do then?
I'm convinced, though, the most attractive word in the world to a healthy man is the word no.
I did. I was like, no. And then all of a sudden something clicked inside me. And it's like, well, maybe, you know, I might find this interesting.
You know, you often hear, you know, the romantic thing from Hollywood, love at first sight and blah, 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 blah. But if you talk to most couples who have great marriages,
mm-hmm.
ask them about the early encounters.
Mm-hmm.
Overwhelmingly, you will hear stories like, I thought he was weird. I told him, get away from me. Bug off. You know, so I mean, that's fine. But beyond that, dude, just relax a little bit.
I think
just,
he's overthinking it a little
absolutely.
Bit.
Just be you. Obviously, uptight. You like this girl. Just try and win the girl. And be you. Look at her character. See what she's like. See what her family's like. The world that she comes from. How does she react to things in life? These are the important things. A successful marriage is about living by the right principles. Not so much about finding the right person. The only right person kicks in that they find the right, do the right principles. And that you feel attracted to them. That's all. So I wouldn't worry about all this. I think you're thinking too hard.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, pursue the girl. Go after her. Be like a chihuahua.
Until
she files the restraining order. And then move on. Because now you've gotten really, really creepy. All right. So anyway, all you guys out there dating with nose in your face, just hang in there. Be back in a minute.
Brand new and available now on DVD, Manly Man 3, Time to Man Up. In this third year of the conference, Mark Gunger, comedian Ken Davis, Ed Gunger, and Paul Coughlin challenge men to stop being passive and become courageous leaders among their family and friends.
I think it's amazing. I've been sitting backstage watching this, and I think I get it. We have been neutered. Am I wrong? That isn't the sad part. We volunteered for it.
Order your Manly Man 3 DVD with over 6 hours of both hilarious and serious sessions giving men practical tools to become the man of God he's called them to be. Visit us online at laughyourway.com or call 866-525-2844. Don't wait. Order your copy today at laughyourway.com.
Do you want to discover the heart of your child and who God created them to be? Laugh Your Way America is excited to introduce the Kids Flag Page. This fun and interactive game will help you discover the unique way God wired your child. Find the key things that motivate them and learn what they love most about life. This colorful and engaging activity set will help your child see who they are at their very best and will teach you how to bring out the best in your child. Each Kids Flag Page game comes with everything you need to complete 3 Kids Flag Pages. Designed for children ages 4 to 11, the Kids Flag Page is a fun way for moms and dads to interact with their kids and truly discover the heart of each child. To order your game, go to www.laughyourway.com. That's laughyourway.com.
Well, the night has come and the land is dark.
Oh, yeah.
And the moon is the only light we'll see. No, I won't be afraid. No, I won't be afraid. Just as long.
Everybody get up.
As you stand,
just slow dance. Grab your
stand
Valentine.
By me. So darling, darling, stand by me. Oh, stand.
Oh, yeah.
By
come on, Ross, sing it,
baby.
I can't, man. Seal, he's the man.
Stand by me.
I'm just lost.
Stand by
smooth
me.
Toes.
Great yeah, song, huh?
You are standing by the Mark Gunger Show, where we discuss all of your marital challenges, relational conundrums, and dating dilemmas that you can email to us at radio@markgungershow.com.
What did you find, sir? You just handed this
to
me.
Yeah, I just threw this, guys, this to you, oxytocin in women. And I don't know why. I don't have time to read all this. But here's the bottom line of the study, because I saw this. It's great for Valentine's Day. The problem with touch. Now, what it's saying is we all need to be touched. Everybody needs to experience touch. Babies that don't get touched suffer greatly. They theorize that if an infant is not touched much, it could literally die. Mm-hmm. We are wired for touch. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, here's the thing about touch. Touch releases a chemical, this bonding chemical called oxytocin.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like... you know, a narcotic-like drug in this respect, that if you were to take a narcotic, it helps and it feels good, but then it makes you want to take
more.
It again.
Mm-hmm.
And that it, so it becomes addictive, okay? Mm-hmm. And of course, those things will eventually kill and destroy you. Now, this is a good addiction. Here's the thing. When you touch, it releases this oxytocin, which is a bonding chemical. It feels good. It helps you become healthier, and it makes you want to be touched more,
mm-hmm.
okay? So the more you touch, the more you want to be touched by this person. Okay, da 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 da. Now here's what happens: people get married to each other, and then at some point, you know, you go, "Whoa, enough of the touching already!" Okay,
mm-hmm.
and you kind of
right.
back off,
mm-hmm.
and then all of a sudden, the desire for touch starts to wane,
mm-hmm.
and then people start having problems. They wonder, "Well, what's wrong with me?" You know, maybe we don't love each other as much and stuff like that. In reality, what has happened, the reason they no longer feel a desire for touch is because they have stopped touching.
Mm-hmm.
If you will continue to touch each other, it will generate the need and the desire mm-hmm. to be touched again. Okay? It's mm-hmm. I don't know what the word I'm looking for here.
I just get
it. It's like use it.
Masculine
if you don't use it, you lose it.
Huh?
Kind of mindset. If you don't use it, you lose
yeah,
it. Kind of mindset.
Exactly. So, now what happens is, early in the relationship, you know, you touch, and then you touch. So, I mean, our problem in so many situations, we got married people who don't touch each other,
right.
and single people who won't quit touching each other,
mm-hmm.
okay? And they get themselves in trouble
mm-hmm.
because they're constantly touch,
mm-hmm.
and just, okay? Now, so, here's the situation. I know some of you right now, you personally don't feel like having sex or being intimate with your spouse, or you have a spouse that's that way towards you. Let me give you a word of advice. Just touch the person. And I'm not talking about reaching up and grabbing the hooters. Hey, baby, come
mm-hmm.
here. Okay? I'm talking about just holding her hand,
mm-hmm.
Putting your arm around her.
Give her a massage.
When you're watching TV, lean up against each other,
yeah.
you know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
The more you touch, the more likely it will awaken the desire for touch in the other person.
Because if you only ever touch that person when you're
just
trying to
sex.
Lead up to sex,
right. yeah.
it well,
that's
is
what's
a
happening
huge turn off.
Yeah.
It's huge.
Yeah, yeah. That
first
doesn't
or
work
second,
at all.
Third date, if you're going right into the bedroom, you're not going to those stages of holding hands. You know, you're not cuddling.
No, I'm talking about with married people.
Married
if the
people.
Only time that your husband comes and bothers to even lay a hand on you is when he wants it to,
well, to have
go
sex.
To sex.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
Forget
it's a turn-off.
It.
It's
just
like
forget it.
A lot of women start resenting their husbands this way, okay? And let's not forget, I get complaints 10 to 1 from women who say their husbands don't want to have sex with them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that says, except that obviously women are more willing to talk about these things and more women talk to me than guys.
Mm-hmm.
But clearly, it's not just stuck to women. The same problem would happen with guys, because sometimes it might be the woman who wants more touch than the guy who doesn't want the touch. So instead of sitting around crying and getting mad at each other and accusing each other and you don't care, blah, 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 and I don't know why, I guess I'm not interested. Just if you, there's, in every relationship, there's usually the toucher and the touchee. The touchee, if you're not touching them, at some point it exacerbates the fact that they don't want to be touched. Then the toucher gets mad and cries. But if you have that situation, if you're the toucher, just touch the other person. And I'm not talking about sexually. I'm just talking about combing their hair, holding their hand, playing footsie under the table. You know, now if they're fighting you and all this, you need to let them know, hey, we need to touch. That's fair. But just anyway, this whole idea that you need to touch. The more you touch, the more you will want to be touched. The reason why a lot of the passion starts to evaporate in marriage relationships is just because people stop touching each other. I mean, a lot of, you know, and you can always tell people who are dating as they drive by in a car because they're sitting right next to each other.
Right.
And then you can always tell people who are married because the guy's in the front seat and she's in the trunk. You know, and they don't touch each other. They all sit as far away from each other as they possibly can. They sit as far away from each other as they possibly can during supper and as far away as they can watch while they're watching TV. And they bypass each other. I mean, they hardly ever touch. They almost never hug. And then the one person wants sex. And the other person doesn't want to have sex. And then you have all this problem. So seriously, people, touch, touch, touch. Touching begets touching. So if you have a spouse who doesn't feel like being intimate very often, just try it. See what happens. Touch. Don't even tell them what you're doing. Just touch them. Hug them. Hold them. Lean against them. Whenever, whatever opportunity you can, just reach out, grab their hand, that kind of stuff. And particularly if you're not trying to have sex, that's the best time, because then you're establishing, hey, we can touch and it not lead to sex.
Because if, like I said, if every time you reach out and touch and it's, you think it has to go somewhere, it really shuts you down.
Yeah,
it
so
really,
when you
really
start
does.
Out on this, you intentionally have to make sure you are not headed
going
for sex
anywhere.
In any way, shape, or form. This is just touch. What are you saying to the person? Hey, I can touch you. It doesn't lead to anything. So they relax around the touching. The touching now releases this chemical that causes them to want to be touched more. Okay, now this is something that happens in 3 minutes, by the way.
Or one day.
Or in one day.
Or 3 days, maybe.
But it's a pattern. So, you know, it's just important on this Valentine's Day, you know, a lot of guys will be trying to touch their wives on this one day and haven't touched her in months. That's not going to work for you. So just if couples would just go out of their way, touch each other. Just touch each other as often as you possibly can. Because what will start happening is the same kind of energy. I mean, it won't be exactly the same, but the same kind of energy that happens during the dating process. Because there's so much touching. Touchy, touchy, touchy gets a lot of people in trouble. Anyway, there. That's all I got to say about that.
I really like the thing near the end when it says, another interesting effect of oxytocin is that it decreases mental processes and impairs memory. This is the sex makes you stupid thing. That's why hugging and touching can help us recover from an argument. The oxytocin helps us to stop thinking about it and even forget some of the pain we felt. While hugging may not be a natural response during conflict, it can quickly cool things off.
This is true.
I like that.
Read this last paragraph. Just kind of wraps it all up.
While most of us suffer from living in an anti-touch society, women tend to feel more touch-starved than men, probably due to the fact that they have more estrogen. A woman who is not receiving enough touch becomes withdrawn and even depressed. In this condition, a woman can become strongly and even violently opposed to
sexual
touch. That's exactly right.
That's what happens. A lot of you guys are having this problem. You're married to a woman who seems to be just opposed to sexual touch, and it's because you quit touching her.
Right. If the situation continues, she may become so withdrawn that she is no longer open to the very touch she needs. So how do we touch more? Mostly we need to be aware of the need. We need to retrain ourselves and look for opportunities to touch. Even a gentle, brief touch has an effect, and the more the better. Learn to walk hand in hand or arm in arm. When you go to church or watch TV or sit talking to friends, sit close enough to touch each other. When you're both finding a way to be in contact with each other, even sitting at opposite ends of the couch with your feet touching will work. When you are eating together, play footsies, rub each other's shoulders or feet, or give a long massage. Do anything which brings your body into contact with your spouse, and do it often. And don't forget your kids. They need touch too.
All right. So, I mean, that's a great
thing. That's very
thing.
Good.
And it's based in science. They're saying it's actually connected to physiology, physiological situation. Again, a lot of couples, this is exactly where you're at. You got one who wants sex, the other one who just is almost opposed to sex. But a lot of it is because you quit touching each other. Just start focusing on the touching without sexual contact. See what happens. It is your body is designed. Mm-hmm. God designed us to want more touch when we're being touched. Whereas the less touch you get, mm-hmm. you think, now you'd want touch? No.
Mm-mm, no.
It actually makes it worse.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Touch. I like the kid part. Do it with your kids. You know, I've noticed that with my son even.
He just loves, a hug and yeah.
Yes, he loves that
connection. It
helps
him feel connected. Absolutely. And when you're married, it helps you now connect sexually because of the touch thing. Instead of everybody just ignoring each other and then in the middle of the night going over, hey, baby, you awake?
Ain't gonna work.
Brace yourself, Margaret.
It's not
exactly gonna work for you. Mm-hmm. All righty then. Mm-hmm.
Okay, next email. I'm 41 years old and have been married for 16 years. My husband and I were best friends growing up. I had a child out of wedlock, not with him. It was from somebody else. But once we graduated from college and moved back home, we reconnected as friends, but both of us knew there was something more there. I was bringing a lot of baggage as well as someone else's baby into the relationship, but we talked and felt confident that this is what we both wanted. He became the only father my six-month-old ever knew, and we moved in together. Although he never wanted to get married, we did end up getting married. Since I came with so many unresolved issues, the first couple of years were very, very rocky. Well, this past summer, my husband disclosed to me that he had an overwhelming feeling that our marriage was doomed to end, as many other marriages we've seen in our life around us.
Who has that conversation? Hey, baby, how you doing? Pretty good, except I feel we're doomed.
Well, it came out of the fact that every year on their anniversary, they talk and discuss their marriage and goals and what's good and what's bad and what's working and what's not working, and this came out of that conversation.
Well, maybe you should quit having those conversations.
Maybe.
No, I'm serious.
Right. Yeah,
I'm serious. I mean, these, you know, you go to some of these marriage seminars, and I'm highly, no one's more critical of marriage seminars than me. In fact, it makes a lot of my peers hate my guts. They don't like me at all because I greatly criticize the way most marriage seminars are conducted because I think they're, number one, not helpful and oftentimes more destructive.
Mm-hmm.
One of the most moronic and incredibly stupid things some of these seminars do is they'll have you sit down and write out either the 5 or 10 things you dislike the most about your spouse.
I don't want to hear them.
I don't want to hear that. I know there's things, but, you know, what? Are you crazy? Because there's some moronic idiot out there who has a PhD who came up with the idea, you need to just express everything you're dissatisfied with. As I know of couples who have gone to Christian seminars, marriage seminars, where they did this, and they ended up in divorce.
Well, it wreaks havoc.
It's insane.
You don't need to hear or say those things.
You're getting together and you're going through a list of where we at, what we're not happy with. It's...
No.
Are you crazy?
What How about you just sit on your anniversary and say all the things you're grateful
yeah.
for and leave it at that?
Well, here's our anniversary. You know, it's like a job review.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, who wants that?
You guys like job reviews? I hated those things. Go on, annual review, sit down. Okay, well, you did this right, but you suck at this. You really suck at that, and you really need to work at this. You want to have a job review on your anniversary?
No.
You know, well, it's okay, but you suck at this, and you suck at, you suck at that. Well, yeah, well, you suck at this. You know, so, are you kidding me?
Wow.
Yeah, it doesn't seem, she anyway ended up feeling sad and confused and concerned, obviously. So that was this past summer. Now, this past October, my husband ended up telling me that he no longer wanted to be married now. He said a whole lot of other stuff, of which I was to blame for everything. Then he told me that he has felt that something fundamental has been missing from our relationship from the very beginning.
All right, let me stop. There's so many wrong things here. First of all, why do you people react to this, I don't want to be married anymore? I feel like I don't want to be married. And then you just come unglued.
Guess what? We all feel like we don't want to be married some days.
Right. My wife said, I don't feel like I can be married anymore. I said, yeah, I know the feeling. You know, I don't feel like, look, come on, people. At times, marriage is heaven. At times, it's pure hell. Hell, 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 hell. And then it's wonderful. And then it's hell. And then it's wonderful and hell. And then if you're lucky, you get somewhere in between most of the time, between the heaven and the hell.
Mm-hmm.
So why are you overreacting? Well,
I just feels, you know, I don't want to be married anymore. You say, you know what? Most people feel that way.
Everybody feels right. that. In the first place, you shouldn't and say it to if
that
you do.
Send her to that article.
Yes.
Where's that at? That's what, we suck it on our web page eternally, right?
Yes. Yes. It's on there.
How do you find it? Whatever.
I'll repost it with this show.
All right. There's I'll an article, it. A great article about a lady who her husband said he didn't want to be married anymore. And she said, ah, so what? And she didn't react to it.
Those
she
aren't fighting words, dear, is the name of it. Yeah,
that's the name of the article. And did not respond to it. Read this article. It's a great... Mm-hmm. You married, especially you women, quit freaking out when your husband suddenly decides, yeah, I don't want to do this anymore. Just, okay. And?
Well, what do you mean, and?
Well, a lot of people don't want to do it anymore. Sometimes I don't want to do it anymore.
Yeah.
Think I enjoy cleaning your underwear?
You just don't. Like? It takes on a life of its own if you start
like
talking
it
about it.
When we're in bed and you flatulate, do you think this really encourages my life? Besides, I don't like it.
So what?
Well, I don't feel that we should be married anymore.
So?
What do you mean so?
Well, so what?
Right.
It really frustrates them, by the way. And that's what this lady should be doing with her husband. Quit reacting to guys when they say things like, so what? So he verbalizes he's unhappy. Yeah. We're all unhappy at times.
Yes.
All right. Now, the next thing that's wrong, he goes, well, it never was right from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And this irritates me more than anything that couples do. Because virtually unanimously, whenever anybody has a bad marriage, and talk to anybody who's been in a bad marriage or going through a bad marriage, listen to them, Ross. They'll always talk about the beginning.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
My marriage stinks. Why? Well, because we didn't know each other at the beginning, or we were too young,
yes.
Or we were too fat, or we were too stupid,
absolutely.
Or we didn't have enough money, mm-hmm. or we didn't really understand each other. It's all horse manure.
Mm-hmm.
For thousands of years, men and women met each other on their wedding mm-hmm. night. There was no beginning.
Right.
Their beginning was, you're married.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. And they built marriages that lasted for lifetimes. Marriages never fail because of how you start.
Well, and
I don't care how you started.
Right.
Even though he said that he didn't want to get married, they did get married. Dude, you married her. Who cares if you didn't want to? You're in it now.
But she needs to move on past this.
Right.
I don't care what he wanted in the beginning.
He's in
I don't
it.
Care
He's there.
If you tied him up and forced him against his will. It doesn't matter. You're married. Done.
Mm-hmm.
Done. Well, I didn't make... Done.
Right.
What he didn't really want? I don't care. Shut up. Done.
Yep.
You're married.
Man up.
Married.
Well, I didn't really want to get married. I don't care. Shut up.
Mm-hmm.
Stop with this going. Every time someone goes back to the beginning, mm-hmm. they ought to get punched in the face. Just smack them. Good grief.
That's right.
Marriages end for one reason and one reason only. Somebody gets selfish. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Has nothing to do with how you start. Has nothing to do with how you started. And all of you today who are struggling in marriages, oh, it's because we started rough. Shut up. And every time you listen to someone, and I promise you, those of you who do have great marriages, but you have friends or their marriages are awful, and I guarantee you, I virtually guarantee you 100%, if not 99.8%, that when they start whining about why they want a divorce, they will go back to the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Just like this guy.
Sure.
We didn't know each other long enough. We got married too young, or I felt pressure. Just shut up. Tell them, shut up. Don't even listen to people when they talk about that. You need to cut them off at the knees. It doesn't matter how you started.
Well, and even for people who started really well, a lot of times they'll be all upset now, 5, 10, 15 years later, because now it's not like it was at the beginning. I want it to be so. It doesn't work either way. You're screwed.
It has nothing to do with how it starts.
Right.
It's about doing life right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's about sticking with it. Fulfilling your commitments and obligations and...
No, good grief.
I know.
All right, we'll take a break. I'll check my medication, and we'll be back right after this.
Finally, marriage advice that's direct, honest, and to the point. This is The Mark Gunger Show on markgunger.com. Band of Brothers Radio. Your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles.
You'll never conquer that thing that's got a hold of you until you bring it out of secret, out of the darkness, and bring it into the light.
And you know, that is such the key right there. Because truly what it boils down to for me. My experience is that I had to get to that place where I've said, I've had enough. Mm-hmm. I don't have another ace up right. my sleeve. In every situation, I believe that it's a constant surrender.
Band of Brothers Radio, streaming and podcasting daily at faithplace.org.
It's here, finally. For years, Mark Gunger has been asked to create a product for teenagers, and the time is now. Sex, Dating, and Relating is the newest product brought to you by Mark Gunger and Laugh Your Way America. In this four-disc DVD set, Mark covers the topics of sex, dating, and relating in a straightforward and relevant way that teens will sit up and pay attention to.
And there's that one special cosmic being out there just for you. No, there's not. Okay? It is a bunch of hooey.
In partnership with national abstinence speaker Pam Stenzel, Mark and Pam tackle the topic of sex in a real way. Honest and to the point. Not just telling our teens what not to do, but why they should wait for marriage.
Students, you have a 4 times greater risk of contracting a disease today than you ever have of being pregnant. Pregnant teen girls in your state today are carrying, on average, 2.3 sexually transmitted diseases.
Sex, Dating, and Relating is perfect for parents and teens to watch together, for youth groups and school groups. It's all the information you wish you would have heard when you were young. Make sure your teenager gets this information before it's too late. To order your copy, visit us online today at laughyourway.com. Sex, Dating, and Relating. Give this gift of knowledge to your teen today.
You are so beautiful. To me, you are so
pitiful? Pitiful?
According to this last email, that's what she was
pitiful?
Saying.
You're listening to the Mark Gunger Show.
Can't you see? Oh, I love this song.
Everything I hope for.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He nails it until the end. Do you know the ending of this one?
Where yeah, he goes all the note.
Yeah, just like, seriously.
It's like his voice poops out.
Yeah, that's a great ending, though. That's why they kept it.
To me.
He's so wrapped with emotion over it.
You're listening to the Mark Gunger Show, yeah. Where we deal with your marital questions. And just getting over this last email where this lady talked about her and her husband annually get together and have a job.
Performance review.
Performance review.
Let me tell you why I suck.
Which would be better than her telling you why you suck. But
right.
Oh, I think that's
just I just think it's a bad idea. And again, this idea, everybody going back to the beginning. Our marriage is failing. Really? Now let me see. Your marriage of 18 years is now ending because of how you started 18 years ago? It has nothing with you being an insensitive, narcissistic slob. Has nothing to do with you guys ignoring each other. Has nothing to do about frustrating.
No. It has everything to do with all of that.
Especially Christians. Who cares?
Right.
Because love, the Bible says, never fails. Mm-hmm. Well, we tried, Pastor. No.
No.
Love. No, it did because we tried. Love never fails. Let's see. You or the Bible. I wonder who we should listen to. Love, the Bible says, never fails, but you say it doesn't work anymore because we were too fat when we started.
You're too fat.
Good grief, who cares? Anyway.
Can I go on a rabbit trail?
Only if you're going to sing for us.
Oh, no, I'm not going to sing.
You are... So beautiful.
Just because it's Valentine's Day and people might be looking for videos to rent tonight, have you ever seen...
300!
No, that's not what I was going to talk about. Not on Valentine's Day, anyway. Have you ever seen any or many of Tyler Perry's movies? The Tyler Perry movies?
Most of them.
Why'd I Get Married? Why'd I Get Married 2? Yeah. This last weekend, I watched I Can Do Bad All By Myself, and I watched The Family That Prays Together. Have you seen those two?
I don't think
Oh,
The Praise, I think I did see that one, yeah.
That's the one where it's the rich white family and he's sleeping with the black girl that's his accountant. Did you see that one? They are such great movies. If you want to watch a good, not chick flick, but like a good marriage movie.
Good marriage movie? 300.
No.
Braveheart.
No.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Because he's so...
Aliens.
He's so real about the stuff of marriage. I mean, it's not over-romanticized. It's not this hogwash BS. It's very real about how hard it is and about how you persevere.
Does everyone know anything about this guy? What is he a... He must be a Christian.
He has to be because they're so Christian-laden.
Every show, every movie he does is full of the gospel.
Yeah.
Literally see people in church and coming to the altar and or whatever. I mean,
and going to church changes their lives and coming to Jesus.
I don't know if I've seen any of them.
Oh, Ross, you have to see them. Why did I get
married? But on the other hand, you know, it's got some edgy stuff in it.
Yeah, they
kind of like the show.
Yeah, but really good messages.
Ew.
One of my favorite ones is The Diary of a Mad Black Woman. Have you seen that one?
Someone just mentioned that
one's good. That one's really good. It ends with a little bit of a Hollywood ending. I wish that they hadn't ended it exactly the way they did. But
the chat room is saying, yes, he is a Christian.
He has to be. He has to be the way. He is brilliant. So if you are looking for movies for Valentine's Day, I highly, highly recommend any of the Tyler Perry movies. They are so good.
Someone says he's a pastor. Is that true?
I don't know.
How would you have time to be a pastor in that?
But it's really raw. It's really, like, with affairs and adultery and the hard stuff of marriage. He deals with it. I mean, seriously, I'm endorsing him.
Oh, yeah. And there's some cussing in it and stuff.
Yep.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know,
wow.
Domestic violence. A lot of it. And he uses a lot of the same actors. So you'll see some of the same men and women from one movie. Not just the sequels, but from movie to movie.
Medea, she's hilarious.
That's hilarious. When he plays the Medea character... It is hysterical.
Have you seen
his role?
No way.
I don't know.
Go on a Tyler Perry marathon. Come on. You've got to do it. You will not regret it.
I'd rather pour salt in my eyelids, I think.
Okay.
Tyler Perry. Just do a Google of Tyler Perry movies. You'll see these movies.
Very good movies.
Everyone I've seen has had a surprisingly strong Christian message.
And pro-marriage. Very pro-marriage. Good movies to watch for Valentine's Day.
But I still like 300. That's a lot better.
No, not for Valentine's Day.
You know what is good
There's
about
300? There's a lot
300.
Of red in that movie. It's very much
cutting people's heads off. I mean, you got to love that. Nothing says I love you like cutting off somebody's head. I got to tell you.
That's right.
The good thing about 300 is you almost never see in movies married people having sex.
Oh, that's right. You said that about that movie before.
You
it's always
seen it?
Single people.
Oh, no, I haven't seen it.
Even on dramas, you know, watching TV, you know, they're all...
Yeah.
Boinking each other's brains out until they get married. And then they never show them again having sex.
Mm-hmm.
They only glorify and show sex outside of marriage. In this movie, the passionate sex scene was between a man who passionately loved his wife.
Mm-hmm. Very good,
and treated
good
her
too.
With great respect. It's fabulous, you know. Yep. By the way, you shouldn't watch it. You should fast forward through the sex scenes because you don't need to see anybody else's movies.
Pretty graphic, is it?
I don't know why I fast forwarded through it. It looked pretty heated to me. All right, you guys, see you tomorrow.
Bye-bye, boys.
Have fun storming the castle.